You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Jason Beck, live from Lakeland, Florida, where the Tigers had some news in the early days of camp, re-signing Jabba Chamberlain, cool $1 million, rounding out their bullpen. And, Beck, what's this mean for the bullpen? I know there's, you know, possibly some competition among some young arms there before this move, and I'd imagine this takes care of that in a hurry.
Yeah, I think it means that we probably won't be seeing the likes of Alex Wilson or Buck Farmer in the opening day bullpen. As far as what it means for other guys, really when you look at it, certainly from the right side, the bullpen looks to be pretty well set unless somebody gets hurt, which, you know, we saw that happen last spring with Rondon. But as of now, you're looking at Joe Nathan as the closer, Joaquin Soria set up, Rondon if he's healthy, and then you have after Albuquerque, who strikeout six and whatnot, and then of course Jabba. It leaves two lefty relief spots. Coors Line, he's got one of those sewn up with his contract and whatnot. And then now what Brad Austin's has to do is decide what kind of lefty he wants and if he's going to need one of those guys to be able to pitch two or three innings in a traditional long relief type setup for that second lefty. If he does, Blaine Hardy's chances of making the bullpen would appear to be a lot better than some of the other guys, although Kyle Ryan could also do the same thing since he was starting for most of the year in the minor leagues before he got the call up and then spent September in Detroit's bullpen. If not, then Ian Kroll would seem to have a chance to battle and make his case that he deserves a shot again at being that primary lefty.
It seems like Jabba's market kind of dried up a bit. I mean, it took a while to get to this point, $1 million deal with the team he was with last year. You know, his second half obviously was a lot different than his first half, and the playoff performance stands out in the memory bank. So where do you think he's at this point, having watched that progression as last year went on?
It's going to be interesting to see. I thought somebody was going to snag him on the market. I think a lot of people expected that, you know, maybe he was looking for some sort of monetary figure that wasn't out there. But then when you see him sign for $1 million, I mean, even if he hits all the incentives in the deal, you're talking about basically him making half as much as he made on the deal last year when we all saw him as a pitcher on the rebound. It's crazy to think about, especially in an offseason where so many non-closing relievers really took advantage of some fresh demand and made a lot of money. But that second half, I think, didn't help his cause. And I think he just got overshadowed a little bit by some other guys. Really, for all that was made of the change in the market, one thing that seemed to hold true this offseason was the guys who were still left on the market after the holidays kind of ended up in a bad position.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And as we record this, Rafael Soriano and K-Rod are still lingering out there. So,
Phil Koch, another former Tiger.
Phil Koch, yeah. How about Bruce Rondon? Bruce, Beck, where does... How does he look to you after the injuries and a guy whose stuff is so enticing? And we've gone into previous springs. He really catches the eye when they're lined up on those bullpens and on the backfield. He's a guy who definitely grabs your attention. But what have you seen from him early on?
Yeah, I wrote about him today. They're trying to be careful with him not to put too much stress on the arm and push him to throw too many fastballs right away. They're trying to ramp him up gradually. That said, they're letting him kind of let it fly at the end as long as he feels okay. So I've seen him throw two bullpen sessions right now, and Now, most of their throws have been free and easy, and you really don't know what to make of them. Near the end, the last 5 to 10 pitches, he's kind of let slide, and you can see at least a semblance of that old pop he had in his arm when he was blowing 103-mile-an-hour fastballs by David Ortiz and some other guys there a couple of years ago, which I'm sure is good to see for a lot of Tigers officials. And as long as he's healthy, he's got a spot. I don't think they even need to see him pitch back-to-back days. At least that's the impression that Ausmus gave today. If they went into the season without knowing for sure whether he could do that, they're fine. They just want to be able to have him to some extent and have him healthy. If they have to nurse him through the first stretch of the season, I think they won't live with it. What we've seen from the Tigers the last two postseasons, that's when I think they really need Bruce Rondon, or at least an effective Bruce Rondon. Because you can make a case both against the Orioles and against Boston in 2013 ALCS. If they had Rondon in that bullpen, those could have been much different series because he's the type of guy where it's hard to do matchups with him.
Well, on the subject of large, imposing men, Miguel Cabrera is down there. He arrived ahead of his anti-gravity treadmill, correct? He actually got there before the treadmill did.
Yes, he beat it by a day.
There you go. Beck, you're a big runner. Have you ever been on an anti-gravity treadmill?
I have not been on the anti-gravity treadmill. I've only done full gravity running. I've seen what it looks like, you know, with a bubble basically over the lower half and regulating weight through air pressure or whatever. But I talked with Jose Iglesias about it, and he raved about it. He used that during his rehab from the stress fractures in his shins, and he said it made a huge difference for him, and it's something that he actually hopes to keep on using here this spring for his sprint work to kind of ease himself along. So they have a believer there. He was using one in Miami. I think Cabrera might have been using the same one. They might have been working out at the same facility. And it seems like some other teams, major league teams, have these, but the Tigers have not had a use for it until now. And now they've been kind of rushing to get one. And you know, I guess they're getting one from the NFL Combine.
Yeah, I believe when I covered the Indians, I think Grady Sizemore did some work on the anti-gravity treadmill. It did not work out for him in the long run with Cleveland, at least, that's for sure. But I think most of us, back when we run, it feels like double gravity treadmill sometimes. you feel like you're weighed down by the weight of the world. But, Miggy, he obviously had to tweak his swing in some ways last year because of the ankle situation. And does he feel confident in the ability to get back to his normal mechanics at the plate, in a timely fashion this year?
He sounds confident about it. I guess that gives me some assurance. But at the same time, I remember hearing him complain early in the year last year about having to get out of some bad habits he had developed the year before when he was going through the issues with the sports hernia that led to the core muscle surgery. Now, granted, it's a completely different injury, so maybe it doesn't have the same impact, but I know from that Cabrera can develop bad habits, and just through muscle memory, it's not that easy to get out of it. Now, some of them might depend on how long he was having to battle it, but to me, it bears watching, and I'm still going to be kind of curious to see how that works out. And really, for me, the question is, how much is that lower body recovery going to impact him in terms of hitting for power? I think we saw him being able to hit for batting average last year, even with the injury. But power was down, certainly from a home run standpoint. He's still able to hit for doubles power as good or better than ever. But is that power going to return? And if not, are we still going to be looking at a guy who hits for a ton of doubles and drives in runs runs that way. And will that affect what Brent Austin chooses to do for their number two hitter in front of him?
And one last thing, Beck. I know they signed Jabba. They did not sign Moncada. He goes to the Red Sox on that gargantuan deal for an international young prospect. It sounds like the Tigers were never truly in on Moncada. Is that correct? I know there were rumors that they were during this process, but ultimately it seems that they were one of the many teams for whom that price tag was just not tolerable.
Yeah, they worked him out, and they were intrigued. But it sounds like it was pretty clear once the asking price became obvious and what other teams were willing to offer him, became obvious that the Tigers weren't going to be able to match that. It's a little bit of a surprise because it seemed like that was pretty obvious from the get-go that he was going to command a lot of money and that probably wasn't going to change. And if any team could battle through the restrictions that was going to result in on the international market, it would seem like the Tigers would be as well suited for that as anybody, because really, as Al Avila admitted, their niche are the low and mid-range signings in Venezuela. They seem to get more value out of those than most teams in baseball. $300,000 did not seem like a huge restriction for them in that regard, but they decided that they were better off spending the money elsewhere, from what Al Avila said, and so they never really jumped in.
All right. Well, we want to thank Jason Beck for joining us on this week's podcast, and plenty more happening down there in Lakeland. So be sure to check out Tigers.com for all the daily details there. Beck is cranking out those stories. He'll be doing so for the next 7 weeks or so. So I want to thank Beck, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.